This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
We are back, folks. You are the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass, and the MGO Blog Roundtable crew is with us. You already heard Craig Ross. He gets here in the 9 o'clock hour. We had a little back and forth there. Craig, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Allowing Craig to reintroduce himself, and he's an author, right?
I've written some books. Let's not talk about them.
And you can beat Joe Simon in 101.
I don't want to go there. I have to admit, I'm probably ducking Joe.
You ducking Joe?
I mean, I'm in my dotage. I'm drooling. Joe's a young guy.
He is the silver fox. And of course, sitting across from me, from MGO Blog, Brian Cook. Brian, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I want to give Craig Russell some props. He said protean in the last hour, which is the first time that's ever been said on Sports Talk Radio, unless Mike Golic mispronounced protein. Every week he does something unprecedented in the history of Sports Talk Radio.
He does. He expands our lexicon for sure.
Thanks, Brian.
The Power Rank is the site that our next guest, that he is the author of. Ed, how you doing this morning? Ed Fang.
Great, man. How are you, Sam?
What's going on at the Power Rank?
Football, NFL playoffs. Had a good podcast breaking down divisional playoff games. So it's get into the Super Bowl, and we'll get into March Madness soon. Yeah. Excited to really dig into. Well, obviously we'll dig into Michigan college basketball today, but there's a lot of other teams out there.
All right,
well, take Indy in 5.5.
Yeah, I mean,
my advice.
Yeah, Andrew Luck.
Take Indy
is an outstanding coming
in that story. In that like awful defense that has just kind of patched it together the last.
Take Indy in 5.5, you'll make money.
All right.
I would go exactly the other way.
Remember the quarterbacks making their playoff debuts so far 0-3.
Yeah, I mean that's in fact
that's not a sample size. That's
well, in fact, historically I know that number. Historically against the line, first time playoff quarterbacks are 13-32 against the line. So okay. If you betting against first time quarterbacks is a good idea.
All right, we shall see. Which of you guys, winds up being correct? Speaking of making some money, and I'm going with Kansas City, by the way.
Thank
you, Sam. Jeez, man.
Patrick Mahomes is a beast. But making money, that's what we saw Greg Madison do. He definitely is getting a significant raise to go coach. With the Buckeyes, and you were going to say something about that before we went to the break, Craig Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pissed off about it. I mean, if Madison, I guess I have two thoughts. One is, if Madison had said, I'm going because it's more money, and I'm going to Notre Dame, I'd say, oh, great, fine, go. I mean, if you're saying I'm going to UCLA or USC or Wisconsin or Northwestern or any other place, I would be fine with it. But Ohio State? No, it may. I mean, if, for example, a radio station down in Columbus said, Craig Ross, we're going to give you more money than WTKA is giving you. We will give you twice as much money or 100 times as much money. You know, and I don't have and Greg Madison is a millionaire. I'm not. I'm just an ordinary guy. There's no way.
You're not an ordinary guy.
So as a Michigan guy, you could never work at Ohio State in any capacity.
No. Ever. So that, ever. And the money would never even.
With that premise, with that as the model, you know, Michigan never gets Bo Schembechler. Michigan never gets Gary Moeller. You know, guys have crossed those lines before.
But remember, here's the thing. If Madison was, you know, a young assistant coach here and he got a head coaching job at Ohio State, I'd say, okay. He didn't do that. He's the same thing. He's a co-defensive coordinator. Come on, that's nothing. It's the same. It's
right, but isn't that like?
It's a co-defensive coordinator.
Aren't you arguing why that's okay? I mean, they hired a defensive coordinator that's going to turn 70 next year.
Exactly.
In November.
In terms of Michigan, I don't think this is like a death blow for Michigan football. I mean, but to go to Ohio State, no. I'm older than Madison. Sorry, I am. And I'm older than Madison. There is nothing anybody could do, nothing, to get me to go down to go down and live in Columbus, wear those wretched colors, say the Ohio State University, please. I mean, it's insulting to me. And the guy, and Michigan probably made him a millionaire. He was here for 15 years, 13 years, I guess, total. And no, it's to me, it's just wrong. And I like Madison. I've talked to him several times. He's a very collegial, fun guy to talk to. But no,
Brian Cook.
What?
Your take
On Madison?
Yeah, just turn against Madison. I guess you at Washington.
Yeah, it's pretty much the best case scenario for Michigan that Ryan Day has hired a 70-year-old dude who ran a 4.3 under, and then some guy from the NFL who's never even been a coordinator as his co-defensive coordinators. His hires looked stupid on the face of it. So, good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pragmatic view, but it's not.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not there. I'm too much of a fan.
Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are worked up, like Craig Ross this morning. I just personally don't care. I mean, Greg Madison made a business decision. He's got family around here, right? So he's like, it's not like he's going far.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, he was like, oh, I'm going to stay here because of my family. And then he's like, bye.
Yeah, and there's a lot of noise out of Greg Madison over the years about loyalty and
I just wish he was young enough that he could have his tenure in Ohio State, come back to Michigan, and then leave for Michigan State, just to complete the trifecta.
I'm trying to think who all this. I think Ed Warner is he the only coach that knows has coached at all three at Michigan and Notre Dame, so all four. Ed has coached at all four.
I don't know.
You want to dump Warner because he was at Ohio State?
No, it's a different deal.
Warner got fired, and then he was in Minnesota.
I mean, it's a couple of things have been reported. I mean, it was reported that Michigan didn't offer Madison.
I think that report is not true.
That has been reported. I think Karsh said that. I think it was reported on Fox. You know,
the notion that there was no opportunity for Greg Madison to come back is wrong.
I agree with you on that, but that's been reported.
To come back at the rate that he's getting at Ohio State, well, no, that wasn't on the table.
Okay.
But, this is my view, because I think the way you feel about it is reasonable. I understand it. I understand some of the recruits that are upset about it. I get it. If you were coming here and Maddie was the guy you were coming to play for, I'd be upset too. I also understand, like what Chris Wormley said, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. I've seen so many guys come and go, not to Ohio State, but so many guys come and go that I accepted a long time ago. This is a business, man. Whether it's guys sitting out of bowl games, players sitting out of bowl games is why I stand on the table for that. About time they're able to make business decisions too. Coaches, for as long as I've known them, are making it's like I remember when Mike Jack left the basketball program for Purdue. I was like, ah, man. But you know what? Business decision. And that's the way that I felt about this. It doesn't mean that you don't want to see him. You know, you aren't disappointed, upset, frustrated, in some cases angry. My approach to it is, I think there you're going to see a lot of guys that go for the money. In this case, when you more than double your salary, you go from $525 to $1.2 million.
He doesn't need any more money. What is he going to spend that money on?
He's not going to spend it on himself, but a lot of people, it's not about them when you're making money at the end. No, it's about your family. No. It's about your kids and your kids' kids.
I completely feel what you're saying, but that's not how the majority of people think.
I think it's very presumptuous to spend out of someone else's pocket. It's not for me to say how you spend your money.
Let me ask you, Sam. You're a young guy. You're not an old dude like me. You're young. And what if
Ohio State University, let me, okay. we address this on the air. If if the Columbus radio station, 97YR, and I talked about this, yeah, if they came and said, we are offering you $1 million to do a show down here, give me my hazmat suit. Give me my hazmat suit. We're doing a show.
No, I would. I could not. I could not do it.
We're doing a show.
I could not do it.
We talked about it. We may be nauseous at night. We may need a quarantine.
We're doing a show.
But if you're talking that kind of money, we could put our kids through school, and well before they actually get to college, we could retire.
Right. But what if you're 70 years old and kids through school isn't sailing?
Yeah, but see, the
grandkids through school, Craig Ross. Yeah.
Sam and I made very clear, and maybe it's harder to make this analogy because of what we do versus what even they do. Our loyalties are not for sale, but our professional skills can be. Everyone's professional skills are for sale in some way, shape, or form, but our loyalty to who we support isn't.
Let me tell you how I feel.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't feel betrayed.
If you the choice of doing the same thing down in CBUS as I do here, or have my hand chopped off, I'd probably take hand chopped off.
You probably take hand chopped off?
I would take hand chopped off.
I would. Take the job.
I take hand chopped off.
I like.
I'm too old. I think
this conversation needs to be focused on what this means on the football field, right?
Well, and on the football field, sure. I don't think it means all that much. I mean,
is it potentially a downgrade for? I mean, not that their defense could have been worse than some of the performances they had this year, but
anyways, they.
You mean for Michigan?
No, for Ohio State.
Oh, for Ohio State. I mean, we'll see. I don't know anything about this other guy.
What, can I say one other thing about
him? He's been in the NFL for the last 7 years, and he hasn't been a coordinator. So yeah. It's like...
And that's why you need a co-coordinator.
What are you doing?
If I could just say one thing that seems most salient to me about this whole thing.
You say a lot of things.
I know, okay. hey, it is talk radio. Talk is in the title.
I know.
The conspiracy theories. I'm with you on this one, though, Sam. And it would be better, I would think, if there was a little more transparency about this. If, for example, Madison or Michigan came out and said, as opposed to having two stories about was there a contract, wasn't there, if Michigan had come out, and I don't think they have, and it said, look, we offered him contract XYZ, here's what was in it. He decided no, he wanted this other alternative. If there was a little more transparency in the whole scenario, I think you wouldn't have the conspiracy. So, I mean, this is what happens. This is what happens when you hide things and things aren't transparent. People come up with explanations, even if the explanations make no sense whatsoever. Or they fantasize other things which aren't real.
It sounds to me like, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe. Bill Green just reported.
Yeah.
He just came on the site and reported yesterday exactly how it went down. Said it was abrupt and out of the blue that Ryan Day, he broomed Alex Grinch, who had just gotten there.
He did not broom Alex Grinch. What happened in that situation is they brought him in to be their defensive coordinator. Their attempt to offload Shiano failed, and they got stuck with that guy for last year, which is why their defense was so bad. Oklahoma is not hiring Alex Grinch because he got jacked out of Ohio State. That is crap. Wow. Sorry.
And this is my point.
So whether Alex Grinch got broomed,
he did
or he left, that is a late or after season development. And that's when the Greg Madison thing developed. And if you
that guy made a functional defense at Washington State.
It's kind of beside the point that I'm making. Alex Grinch.
It's just that so you don't want to have Michigan have to save face by being like, all right, this wasn't Madison's thing. Well, that goes for Ohio State too. Like Grinch left of his own volition. The pattern of that is clear.
Okay, Grinch left or he was whatever. Grinch was out of there after the year. That's when the Greg Madison thing developed. That's the timeline. So that does not allow for this asinine thing of, hey, they turned over the Michigan game plan to Ohio State before the game. Are you kidding me? I mean, people believe that crap. Yeah. People believe stuff like that.
Well, you know, again, if Michigan had come out and said,
Michigan
here's what...
the game plan was like, Brandon Watson can't run with these guys. Yeah. Like, we're going to try a crossing route, and it works. All right, well then.
Right, which were the plays that they had run all year.
Yeah. Like, on other teams.
Oh, man.
Well, that's crazy stuff. But the, you know, Bigfoot doesn't live under the studio either. But the, you know, it still seems to me, if and on this sort of thing, Michigan should come out and say, this is what happened. And not leave it up to Bill
that's
Green.
That's never going to happen.
Why?
It's just not.
Well, and that's the problem then. And because transparency solves a lot of things.
You know, the least transparent thing in the history of the world, a football program.
Craig, we sat here last month, and there were people that called in and said, you know, man hasn't landed on the moon. People believe what they want to believe.
Yeah.
So in the face of a lot of, I mean, with the whole Zach Harrison thing, I think I've told you guys a lot of backstory there, but it is, I mean, it's just a non-starter to believe that if somehow, some way, back in November, there was this knowledge that Al Washington was going to go to Ohio State, and that he would relay that information to Zach Harrison and Zach Harrison's people. It is a non-starter to believe that the folks around him would have seen that as, oh, wow, you should go. This is more of a reason for you to go to Ohio State. I guarantee you, I am 100% certain that that would not have been an assist when it came to the people around Zach. I promise you that. I promise you that. There is no way that was an assist, or would, I shouldn't say was, would have been an assist for Ohio State with the people in Zach Harrison's circle. I promise you that.
Yeah, I don't believe that. That's crazy talk. I mean,
I believe every crazy thing that someone says. Because you know what? We're 1-99 against Ohio State in the last 100 years. We're all crazy. Can we please talk some basketball?
I'm ready. I'm just saying. In closing, that's my only thing. With all the feelings about this, you haven't heard me say, Craig, you're wrong to feel that way. Or anyone else. You're wrong to say a traitor. And I could never do that. It's fine to have those feelings. You, as a Michigan fan, those are acceptable feelings to have.
Everyone just else can feel that way.
Just don't allow those emotions to make you go all hail bop. You know? I mean, that just don't believe the conspiracy theory.
First time the hail bop comment has ever been mentioned on Sports Talk Radio.
Life lessons from Sam West. All you guys, listen to this man.
I'm just saying, man. All right. Let's get a phone call real quick.
Don't break up into 9 pieces and ram into Jupiter, people.
All right, Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up? Don, you there? Ira, Don in Ann Arbor.
What is Ira doing?
He's talking. Hey, Don, what's up?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Sam, you mentioned Bo and Gary Moeller going from Ohio State to Michigan. Well, as an old guy of Craig's vintage, so I should point out, neither Bo nor Mo went directly from Ohio State to Michigan. Bo spent 6 years at Miami of Ohio before he came to Michigan, and Mo was with him for all or much of that time down at Miami. So I understand it may seem like a weird difference to some people whether or not you have an intervening stop before you move to a major rival, but I think to many Michigan fans who were fans in their youth during the 10-year war, it would have been literally unthinkable for any Michigan coach to move directly from Shem Beckler's staff to Woody Hayes' staff or Earl Bruce's staff, because the rivalry back then was so intense. And a lot of that intensity was formed during the 70s when 5 losses or ties to Ohio State meant Michigan could not even go to a bowl game. And I don't think anybody who is younger, too young to have gone through that period, truly understands the visceral nature of the hatred of Ohio State of Michigan fans during that period. It may seem old school and old fart and why don't you old guys get over the past? I understand that. But it's something that stays with you. And I'm with Craig on this. It would take a hell of a lot for me in a situation to go to Ohio State. The money would have to be incredibly good. As a fan, you know, it's irrelevant to me. I'll never be in that position. But I think that explains a lot of the anger of some portion of Michigan fans over Madison going directly there. Maybe a distinction without a difference to you guys.
No, that's a distinction with a difference, because Bo came here as head coach. Madison is going there as an assistant coach.
He's going here for a promotion, Craig.
We'll move on.
Everybody can be assistant to the defensive coordinator.
He's essentially, like, as you laid out, he'll be the defensive coordinator for initially.
He hasn't been a coordinator in a number of years, and when he was there, he had Jake Ryan.
It's Urban Meyer, man. It's an Urban Meyer move.
I mean,
I'm telling you, it's an Urban Meyer move.
Well, it's dumb.
Right on, Don.
I didn't say. I'm not telling you. I'm not making a case for. You know, it's the right move for them.
Madison's only going to get worse. As a coach, he's on the downslide.
You are very lucid. You are as spry as you were the first day I met you.
Very lucid. lucid. But, I wouldn't put him on the very.
But I guess it was unthinkable. I imagine in the late 70s or early 80s for, let's say, AC was to sit out the bowl game. Never in a million years would your best player sit out a bowl game. And we just saw that happen.
Hate that it happened.
Don't like it. You know, it's not what I want to see, but I understand it. This is the times we live in. Doesn't make it, doesn't make it say that you shouldn't be frustrated or upset by it. But it will cause you a lot less, stress if you accept that, this is a business. College athletics, the revenue, sport level, a business, man.
But, they got to treat it like a business. That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you.
But the more you treat it like a business, the less the fans are going to care. And the less the fans care, the less you have a game. I mean, at some point, the game is just the fans.
So to me, this is not the biggest example of it. Craig, the money. Okay, we need to transition because Brian's about to explode.
Always been stabbing each other in the back.
College coaches making $7 million.
I understand.
You got athletic directors making seven figures. Now you add to it. You got players that are able to, rightfully so, sit out of bowl games. Transfers are becoming unencumbered. These are the times.
They may be the times, but at some point you're gonna kill the game because people will lose interest.
I mean, he's not wrong about that. Nobody cares about bowl games at all.
Right.
Wait, guys. Why do you think bowl games exist? Because millions of people watch them on ESPN.
Let's get it.
Ask yourself the question. Right. Why did the playoff not kill off bowl games?
Because it's
ESPN owns 80% of the bowl games.
And they make money off of them.
Yes, but not as much because people don't care about them anymore.
People still watch them.
We're going to switch to basketball on the other side. Something we can all be happy about, right? So we're going to do. Number two team in the country. How could you not be happy about that?
I don't know.
We're going to pick them apart.
KenPom has them at six.
We'll get to it on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. The Michigan basketball team, number two in the country. The next step, the next level for this team, when I say next step, next level, you can't get much higher than number two, right? But I'm talking about when you start feeling even more confident that they are going to be in the Final Four. They're a Monday night team. To me, it's about the bench. It's about the development of the bench. And that makes last weekend's game, even Sunday's game, even more significant that we saw, I thought, really positive strides from Brandon Johns off the bench. And not planned minutes for Brandon Johns. He was pushed in there, and Beilein said after the game, it's not like we plan to put him in there. Someone said, hey, did you see this in practice? Did he earn it? Was it out of necessity? And Beilein said, no, we put him in there out of necessity. We have foul trouble. And the guy responded.
Yeah, I mean, more than respond, right? He was
fantastic in a small sample size in that game, getting that block shot, a couple buckets, looked quick getting off the ground, going off for rebounds. So I completely agree with you. I mean, that's the biggest development well, last month of this team by far.
I mean, the one thing that you can see is you can see that he's not quite there mentally, especially on offense, where, like, you know, Teske is coming out and he's setting screens and nobody's waving at him to do it. And you kind of have to wave at Brandon Johns right now. But, you know, that dunk he took off, when he took off, I was like, this is not going to go well. It went well. Of course, the block on Juwan Morgan, who's a real player.
Yeah, he is. For
sure. Like,
that was really encouraging to see. So hopefully he can kind of get his way into the rotation now, because I think he's a clearly superior option to Austin Davis against anyone who's not going to bang, like, really hard down low, or a guy like Morgan who's 6'7". And Davis is a guy who, you know, is going to be intermittently useful. Like, I think he's a good person to have out there against Hap, if only because he has 5 fouls to give in 4 minutes. But yeah, he's a guy who I think it's important to see continue to get some real time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I watched the tape again last night, and the thing that impressed me about Johns, aside from his obvious athletic ability to be a excellent athlete, is that he, on defense, he moved his feet and didn't use his hands on defense until his feet were in position. And that's something that John Teske has done very well, but has gone a little bit in retrograde. In the Indiana game, you saw Teske reaching at times, and it got him, even though I thought the fouls were mostly crappy calls from a really good officiating crew, on Teske, it's more likely to happen when you're reaching. And the thing that Johns did not do in that game was reach. He didn't use his hands until his feet were in position. And that impressed me a lot. Now, I agree with Brian. On offense, it's like he's like it's not instinctive. He's right. Not like breathing. He's got to say, oh, okay, I'm supposed to be doing this, is what it looks like at times. But the potential's there. He should be a good player.
I think that's a bit harsh on a true freshman. I mean, you just get in the pick and roll. You got the ball off of a roll at least once. Put it in the bucket. I mean, is he as good as, like, he's going to be as a junior? No, but I mean, I think what you really need him to do is come in and use his athleticism on defense and get some rebounds, and
he had
plenty pleased with that.
Yeah, he had 8 rebounds in the game. He's, you know, I think I compared him earlier to DJ Wilson, but I think that's probably not right, because I think he's going to be a better rebounder than DJ Wilson. And
well, DJ was playing at the 4, so it's a little bit different. You know, for me, Johns is a guy who, you know, was probably not in a very complicated high school offense. Probably came to Michigan expecting he would be playing the 4. And, you know, to be slotted in at the 5, it's going to be tough. And the thing about him is he's a shooter. Like, he was a 31% three-point shooter in high school, 70% from the line. So there's going to be a point at which he's able to be a stretch 5, and that we've seen what that does for Michigan's offense. So, like, down the road, that's pretty promising. The other development from the Indiana game that seemed significant to me was Jordan Poole kind of coming into his own as, like, the third head of the dragon of Michigan's offense, along with Iggy and Matthews. So his shots in this game that went down were almost universally nasty. And some of them were high degree of difficulty, but some of them he was able to get to the hoop. You know, he breaks McBob's ankles and then goes up for that mid-range jumper, which was not the right shot, but had to be taken anyway. Because you got to shoot after you break a guy's ankles. That's the rule. And it went down. He's taking NBA threes and making half of them. So, you know, he's a guy who's now creating a lot of his own offense instead of kind of sitting back and being a catch-and-shoot guy like he was last year. And when you've got 3 different guys who can all, you know, weather 25% usage and have a really good offensive rating, you know, that's tough to deal with, because each of those guys brings something a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I love what Poole's done on offense, and I mean, his offensive efficiency has been, I mean, it's 123.
And we saw last year, I was really surprised by how effective he was off the bounce. That has continued to grow this year, his ability to get to the rim. But now you're starting to see him make plays for others, and that is really, you know, if he can do that consistently, because it's not like we've seen him have, you know, a game where he went off for, you know, 6-7 assists. But, you know, for him to get 4 assists in a game, which we've seen him do a few times this year, is growth. I mean, he can, on his way, coming off a ball screen, he can make a play for someone else. going to the rim. I mean, that to me, you look at the way that they can put different guys in ball screen action. We saw Ignas Brasdeikis make a, you know, I expected this year for him to have to be coached out of for a lot of the year, you know, being a black hole. Once he gets the ball, if he's into a move, it's going up. And I caught myself thinking that Sunday, and he passed it. It's like, man, this team, everyone is showing growth in multiple areas.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because if you watched a lot of his pre-college tape, you would see some of that black hole-itis. Mm-hmm. But you haven't really seen much of that this year. He hasn't forced a lot of bad shots. He, you know, he took 7 shots, I think, in the Indiana game when it, you know, it was clear early on Poole and Matthews were on fire and controlling that game. He didn't feel the need to say, hey, wait, what about me? Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I agree with that a lot. I mean, he can pull his game back when it's sensible to do that. So that's also a real upside. As much as John's playing well in the Indiana game, Brasdeikis sort of stepping back in that game is as big a deal, or maybe even a bigger deal.
How good do you guys think this team is?
I think they're...
Are they championship good? Yeah. Are you ready to say that?
Yeah.
National championship good.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, I think they're going to be a one seed, and any one seed is championship good except Virginia last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to expect them to be a one seed heading into this tournament. I am ignoring my numbers when they see how far Duke is ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
But we'll forget about that. Yeah, you want to see them improve like all John Beilein teams do, and not see them regress, which is, you know, if you were just a numbers person looking at this team from the outside, you would kind of expect. So,
well, you know, one of the things that I've done for the past decade or so is I look at the KenPom numbers and I'm like, all right, I know what the KenPom spread is. I know what Michigan's expectation is. We need to beat that, because we're ranked 30th and we need to move up halfway through the season. This year they're 4th or 5th or 6th.
6th, you know, as of last night.
By a hair either way. So, like, those are the expectations being placed on a national contender, that you go and you beat Penn State by 13. You beat Indiana by
11.
Spread, and that was 8. Yeah. But so they're meeting and beating a little bit really, really high expectations, and that's a little bit different for me because, you know, the numbers – I've always been like, okay, we need to beat those. And now, but we just need to match them. And that's where they are. And I think, you know, there's a couple of other analytical sites, like Bart Torvik's site is higher on Michigan than even KenPom. And both those systems have a little bit of preseason still in them. So it won't be till the end of the month that KenPom drops it out entirely. And so it's like, yeah, Michigan's outperformed expectations. I feel like the computer rankings are very, very good, and we'll get a little bit better.
We need to get to a break. When we come back on the other side, let's talk Big Ten, the Big Ten picture and landscape. You know, there are those that continue to push Michigan State. Seth Davis said Michigan State's going to win the Big Ten. He thinks they're the, you know, the best team.
Hey, man, that's Notre Dame himself,
Dan,
right there.
Yeah, Dan Dockage says he thinks Cassius Winston is the Big Ten Player of the Year. I think Brendan Quinn co-signed that last night. I'm curious what your Big Ten picture looks like. We'll get to that on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket. Guys, Big Ten. Clearly, you guys think Michigan is the best team in the Big Ten. Who poses the biggest threat? What do you think of the rest of the landscape? And I'm here to right now eat a little bit of crow, because unless Tim Miles gets this team turned around, they won't pose the threat that I thought they would pose.
No, it's a two-team race. It's Michigan, Michigan State. And that's pretty much it. I mean, you see Ohio State lose to Rutgers last night. But, I mean, the thing about this league is that Rutgers isn't awful. They're the worst team in the league, unless Illinois is. But they're like 100th in KenPom. They're like, a few years ago, they were like 250th. So there's no actual off nights in the league. It's not a cliche. Like, you could go to Penn State, you could lose, you could get clonked basically anywhere in the league. So, you know, it's going to be... There's going to be some stuff that happens.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers is terrible on offense, but they can play defense. And and so that's – and isn't going to be easy for Michigan going into Rutgers to play that game.
Hopefully a little easier than it was for Ohio State. Yeah. I think Chris Holton's a great coach, but they don't have any guys. I mean, Caleb Wesson maybe a little bit, but he's kind of in that Nick Ward area where he's a 6'8 post guy, which is a little bit not where basketball is going. And then I don't really think a lot of most of their backcourt guys, and they don't have a lot of talent. They're going to get there, but it's going to take them a minute or two.
Yeah, I agree with. I mean, it right now at least it looks like it's Michigan State and Michigan. I mean, I watch Michigan State play against Purdue, I think, the other night, and McQuaid. His game is just jumped.
Team just doesn't scare me.
I think Michigan matches well against him, but you watch what McQuaid did against what's his name, Carson Edwards. I mean, Carson Edwards could not get a shot off against McQuaid.
And the problem for Purdue is they are Carson Edwards. Yeah, and nothing else.
Right. But McQuaid still shut him. I mean, I think Edwards was 3 of 16, and it was partly because
kind of like he was against Michigan.
Yeah, partly because he was off, but partly because he couldn't get an open look. Yeah. And they were playing without Langford. I don't know how long he's wearing a boot or something, so I don't know what the deal is there. But Michigan State's good, and
they are. I agree. They were good last year.
They were good last year,
and they came and Cassius Winston, as I say all the time, couldn't get past Xavier Simpson with 12 ball screens. Can't do it.
Yeah.
How many times do we see Xavier Simpson blow past Cassius Winston? Now I have said on the record that this is a new Cassius Winston. He is going to eat Xavier Simpson's lunch. He is going to school Xavier Simpson.
What?
Yes, he's going to give it to X. He's going to give it to X.
What are you talking about?
X has no hope.
I think this is sarcastic.
X has no hope.
He's angry.
Against Cassius Winston.
He's making him angry.
He has. He can't do it. It's the Big Ten Player of the Year up there in East Lansing. He is all of a sudden. He is taking on the defensive identity of Aaron Craft.
Well,
you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know Cassius Winston is a very fine player, but I also know last year that Simpson outplayed him at
yeah, he did. Both times.
Games. Yeah.
Both times. Second time worse than the first.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a tight. For me to believe that Michigan State is the team that everyone else believes they are, I'm going to have to see Cassius Winston do his thing against Xavier Simpson. And we'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a good matchup for Michigan, I believe, but they're also a very good team. The thing that kind of gets me is that they're one of the fastest teams in the country. They are such a transition-based team, and Michigan has done an excellent job at shutting that off and then making those shots pretty bad, even against North Carolina, who's one of the few teams that's faster.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Michigan State's definitely the team creeping up in my numbers. Definitely the other contender. The thing that you like about their numbers is they're shooting almost 40% from 3-point range. You just naturally expect regression to the mean in that number. They won't be, one of the top five offenses maybe by the time that Michigan heads up to East Lansing.
All right. Yeah. So how many teams, as we have the last few minutes of the show, how many teams does the Big Ten get in the tournament? That's been a topic of discussion.
Probably
lately.
Nine. So,
nine? You think they'll get nine in?
Yeah, I mean, people are saying 10. You know, everybody up nine. Minnesota upwards has a shot. And, Iowa's got to win over Ohio State. Minnesota has a couple good knockouts.
Yeah, Iowa beat Oregon too, didn't they?
Yeah, but Oregon is bad. So, especially if
Bowl.
They're, Minnesota will have a shot, and I think Northwestern is probably, that ship has sailed, and then Illinois is not. But everybody else is in with a chance, and probably one of those teams gets knocked out just by cannibalism in the conference.
Yeah, but I tell you what, Nebraska better make the tournament. Tim Miles is getting fired.
He'll make the tournament. Like they have
good out of conference wins.
Good out of conference wins. They're going to get to like 500 ish in the tournament. They're going to make it with some room to spare. I don't think there's much question there.
Yeah. Curry's sitting at 1-3 in the league.
Yeah, but like
ninth in the league.
They played Ohio State. They played Michigan State. They've played a brutal schedule, and they're going to pick up some wins. Just because you're 1-3 in this league doesn't mean that you're dead.
What do you think of Iowa?
Iowa will make it. I mean, they got an important win against Northwestern last night. They're a really good offensive team. They did it without Tyler Cook. Yeah. They can't play defense still, but they're not as bad as they were last year.
Garza is back, and that makes a big deal for them.
Defense is a little less crappy.
I mean, it is. They should just play 2-3 zone every time down and just see what happens.
Their defense is still not good. I mean, they're sitting at 120.
But it's good enough.
Yeah. They have a good offense. I don't know. What's Cook's injury? Is he out for any time?
I think it was not something that looked like it was going to be long term. But
Garza's back. He's a fine player. I mean, the only weakness there on at Iowa is point guard. They don't have a true point guard, in my opinion.
No, but half the league doesn't.
Yeah,
so.
that's the weakness in the Big Ten this year is at the point. I mean,
also they can't play any defense.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, you look back at the Penn State game. I mean, Michigan played a terrible offensive game against Penn State, I thought, but you know, they just demolished Penn State on the defensive end. Their point guard, Rasir Bolton, had
seven
turnovers, one assist. I mean, and that was the game.
I felt like they just made them go one-on-one against Michigan's defense. And
well, they were doubling Lamar Stevens. I was like, really? But
yeah,
it worked. So.
It worked. Well, Stevens, I think, had 25. Is that right?
No, that was Juwan Morgan.
I'd have to look back at my stat, but anyway, it took Stevens a lot of shots to get his points.
Well, Juwan Morgan had 25 shot equivalents, he had 25 points.
I had him with 27 shot equivalents and 25, but whatever.
He had some and ones in there. And the thing about that is, like, he was shooting 74% coming into this game, and we didn't have much of a drop off against high major teams on the schedule. So that's like a big point for Michigan's 2-point defense coming back to being like a very, very good 2-point defense.
Yeah. Yeah, Stevens was 19 shot equivalents for 17. So, again, that's fine for Michigan.
Rough.
He can, you know, so Michigan's defense has been pretty good, pretty consistent. We have, what, two close games this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Northwestern and Western?
Yeah.
That's
it? So. Well, folks, that is going to do it for us here on the MGO Blog Roundtable on the Michigan Insider.